marketing cannot be unidimensional anymore, right? It has already, I think, in many forums, in millions of forums, it has been called out that technology has completely revolutionized advertising in digital age. Every marketer today needs to be cognizant of the challenges that it poses. One of the biggest challenges that I personally believe is the privacy concerns, right? And there are a lot of mandates that exist today around collection and use of personal data. So a marketer should be cognizant of these mandates and should incorporate these in their marketing strategy. Any negative feedback or criticism that your brand gets, right, is visible to the audience through social media and through review sites, which if you do not attend to properly, it can damage your brand reputation.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another episode of The Growth Genius, powered by Infidigit, the SEO specialists. It is here where we bring to you growth stories in marketing and business through the inspiring journeys of our growth geniuses across different industries. Today's growth genius is someone whom I would like to call as an e-commerce maverick. She has transitioned across various e-commerce brands and also launched her own e-commerce brand, especially when e-commerce was just the new thing in market. And this is, I am talking about 10 years back. So without further ado, join me in welcoming Ashima Agarwal, who is the head of e-commerce business at Bajaj Consumer Care. Hi Ashima, welcome to The Growth Genius. We are delighted to have you here on the podcast and thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you, Mehul. Hello, everyone. I'm extremely happy to be a part of this podcast series. As Mehul already introduced me, so I'm Ashima Agarwal. In my current capacity, I'm leading the e-commerce business at Bajaj Consumer Care. My role here primarily revolves around ensuring sustainable and profitable business growth for Bajaj, and also look out for opportunities tapping into market developments, tapping into gaps that are available in the market right now to accelerate our revenue growth, right? So over the last 18 months, so I joined Bajaj Consumer Care in May of 2022, right? So in the last 18 months or so, Bajaj Consumer Care's e-commerce business has completely transformed and has grown by 160%, right? In FY23 versus FY22, right? And now we are a channel which is contributing to 7% of company's total sales, as against, say, contributing to only 2% in FY22 and some decibel points years before that, right? And I think before we get into your set of questions, Mehul, it's very important to understand that there is, you know, there are traditional FMCG companies like how BCCL is, right? All these traditional FMCG companies, they rely on traditional sales channels, they rely on traditional marketing for sales growth, right? But because of your changing consumer behavior, your evolving retail environment, we and all the other companies have constantly innovated our approach to meet these requirements, right? So Mehul, if you would allow, I would quickly touch base on the sure. key strategies that we have implemented to drive this growth in Bajaj Consumer Care. The first one and the most important one, right, is that obviously when you're building something from zero, when you're building something from scratch, you need the right processes, you need the right people, right? I personally believe that these are two important pieces which are required to fuel the initial growth, right? So in the first couple of months, we focused on building the processes for long-term success. So processes which were related to logistics, processes related to planning and tracking of your consumer promotions, planning and tracking of the media spends that you're doing on the platform and off the platform, right? And then we also made an entire P&L. We started tracking our profitability. We started planning our stock requirements. So forecasting became a very important part, right? So these processes were very, very important to set up the base for the e-commerce business. And today I'm proud to say that we have a fully functional e-commerce team, right? So when I had joined, there was only one person who was managing e-commerce, right? Now we are a team of five. We have dedicated key account managers. We have people who are looking after performance marketing. We have people who are looking after operations, right? So from a one-person team, and a two-person contributing business to a fully fledged functional team growing in double digits and contributing to 7% of the business, we've come a long way, right? So the first one, as I said, is your processes and people. The second, very important, all traditional FMCG companies go through it and it's a challenge that they face, is to have the right assortment strategy. So for your traditional companies, general trade, which is your Kirana stores and all, and all the other smaller stores, will contribute to major chunk of the business, right? And it becomes then very, very important. It becomes very imperative for these companies to come up with a product strategy where all your channels can coexist. A general trade, a modern trade, institutional channel, or an e-commerce channel, all of these need to coexist in today's time, right? So our strategy was that how do we, come up with an assortment and a product strategy and minimize these conflicts. So we made a strategy which was twofold. One was that we will focus on our biggest brand, and we will look at pack variations of those established brands, right? So say a different pack for a general trade, a different pack for a modern trade, a different pack for an e-commerce. And the second one is that we can also look at launching products which were only available in e-commerce so that there were no conflict there as well, right? So example being, I'm sure that you're aware of this brand that we have, which is our biggest brand, which is the market leader in light hair oil, which is Bajaj Almond Drops Hair Oil. Right now, Bajaj Almond Drops Hair Oil itself is around, say, a 900 crore brand. And it is very, very big in general trade, right? And the minute we launch the same product on e-commerce or modern trade, it's expected that your general trade stores and the distributors will have an issue with it. So we created different packs, different volumes, different pricing for our modern trade and e-commerce business. The second, as I mentioned, is that you look at products which will have more saliency on e-commerce, because the consumers who are on e-commerce are very different from consumers who are going to general trade. Their requirements are different, their interests are different, the kind of products that they want and consume are different, right? So we've also come up with products which are exclusive to e-commerce. We've launched, we've recently got into shampoos, conditioners. From just being a hair oil brand, we now have shampoos, we have conditioners, we have body lotions, we are getting into skin, we are also getting into soap, etc. Right? So we have also widened our presence across different categories which are more prevalent on e-commerce and are growing faster on e-commerce than on other channels, right? So after assortment strategy, Mehul, comes D2C brands, right? So D2C is the new buzz right now. Everybody wants to get into D2C. There are companies that are acquiring D2C brands, companies that are investing in D2C brands, right? And we also did not want to shy away from this trend. So we launched our own digital first brand. One was 100% pure hair oils and the other one was Native Soul, right? So companies like Marico, ITC, Wipro Consumer Care, they have already acquired some of these brands and have also invested in them. Marico, I'm sure you're aware of these brands like Beardo and Just Herbs, that they have taken the acquisition route. We, however, right now we have launched our own brands, and we are also in parallel exploring brands where there are synergies with BCCL and where we can invest or acquire those brands, right? Now, within new launches, it was not just D2C that we focused on, right? So within hair oil, so hair oil is a big category, right? Hair oil is close to, say, a 13,000 CR category in India currently, right? Now, within hair oil, there are different subcategories. There is a coconut hair oil, there is an Ayurvedic hair oil, there is an Amla hair oil, there is light hair oil, there is your value-added coconut oils, like how Parachute has come up with, say, your jasmine hair oil or your aloe vera hair oil, right? So there are a lot of subcategories that exist within the hair oil master category, right? As of now, Bajaj Almond Drops, say a couple of years back, was only operating in the light hair oil category. But what we have done is that we have launched Bajaj Coconut Hair Oil. We've launched a couple of other hair oils, because of which now we are addressing 85% of the total hair oil category. So from addressing, say, a 20% category, now we are addressing 85% of the category because of launching a lot of other hair oils that we did not launch till now, right? So as of today, coconut has overtaken our business from Dabur or a Parachute, and we are one of the top brands in coconut oil on most of the platforms. Say in Amazon, we've already become market leaders. On Flipkart also, we are working towards gaining share from other brands, right? So this is the other strategy that we took on driving growth. The fourth one, and I would probably end it here, is Mehul, I think one of your questions also is around that, right? the battle between traditional media and digital media, right? So as a traditional company, we are a traditional company. We cannot deny from that, right? So there will always be a battle between allocation of spends between TV and print and digital, right? But what fueled our growth here is the increased spends that we did on platform and off platform media. Now, because of the competitive landscape, it is very, very important to ensure discoverability on e-commerce. There are just too many brands. There are within each category, you will see a new brand coming every day, right? It becomes very difficult for a brand to not invest and then get results, right? So I personally believe, and this is something that when I was in Pepsi was my first job actually. So my mentor at that time, I said, "Jo dikhta hai, wo bikta hai." I think that has stood by me, and I personally believe that "Jo dikhta hai, wo bikta hai," irrespective of the channel. Is it even if it is general trade or modern trade or e-commerce, the consumer will pick up something which is easily available in front of them when they are searching for something, right? So this is a Bible that I also follow, that "Jo dikhta hai, wo bikta hai," right? So the company has also realized that there is a competitive landscape, there is a consumer needs are shifting, and we have also accordingly redistributed our spends, right? So say a couple of years back, we were spending only 10% on digital and we were spending say 90% on traditional. Now that ratio has changed to 40% on digital and 60% on traditional, right? So within digital, we are spending on platform, we are spending off platform. So off platform, on platform put together, now our spends have increased to 40%, which is a significant move for a traditional company, right? So that is something that has helped us drive the growth. Lastly, as of today, just to end on what has happened is that when we started, we were available on two platforms, Amazon and Flipkart. Today, we are present on 14 platforms across horizontal marketplaces, across your vertical marketplaces and your beauty platforms and quick commerce, right? So as of now, if you name a platform and you will see Bajaj Consumer Care products listed there, right? So we've also widened our distribution and we've ensured that we are able to engage with these customers more often. We have a dedicated team which then takes up the business ownership with these. So I might have taken a lot of time on this, but I think absolutely. It was very important because it's like building a business from zero to one, right? There was nothing. And what do you do? What are the levers that you engage to drive the business becomes very, very critical.
No, those were very interesting insights. Your professional life, as you rightly mentioned, has transitioned across various industries, and also you have been, in charge of your own venture. Let us know about your journey and specifically your perspective about the changing consumer needs, especially in e-commerce.
So Mehul, I would like to spend some time on this question because my professional journey, I believe, is quite different from most of your MBA grads, right? I graduated from IIM Kozhikode in 2014. Post that, I joined Pepsi as a management trainee, and within that management trainee stint, I did a couple of projects between sales and marketing. I'm talking about 2014, where your startup culture was beginning to evolve, right? And I, as a person, wanted to do something in food. I was not sure what I wanted to do. I was not sure when I wanted to do it. The only thing I was clear about was that I want to do something. I want to be a part of this whole startup environment, right? So as a very small step, the first thing that I could do was start saving money. So I opened another bank account different from my salary account, and I started saving money month on month for my own venture, right? Then I belong to Chandigarh, and I was stationed in Hyderabad at that time, and I used to frequently visit home. So in one of these visits in Chandigarh, I met a couple of people. There was a conference happening in a co-working space, and there was some discussion happening on food. So I happened to join that conversation. Then I stayed in touch with those people, and cut to 2015 August, I quit from Pepsi. I moved back to my home and I started working on my own venture, right? Towards the end of the same year, again, which is like December of 2015, I co-founded a food startup by the name of Postic in Chandigarh Tri-City, right? So Tri-City basically is your Chandigarh, Mohali and Panchkula. So we came up with a cloud kitchen concept, and what Postic stood for was our objective at that time was to bring out a change in the way health food was perceived, right? The conventional solution that comes to your mind when you think about health issues is that one should eat less and one should exercise more, right? But this does not work for majority of the population because everybody is going to eat, right? Every day, everybody is going to eat, but not everybody can exercise or go to the gym every day, right? So if you want to end metabolic diseases, you have to tap into your people's desire of giving them delicious food, right? So what we did was we created food which was tasty, which people chose because of taste, and a byproduct happened that the food was also healthy for them, right? So for example, say on my menu I had pasta, but the pasta was made of whole wheat or a semolina, and it had olive oil and it had chicken and all to add carbs, right? So we could give you a 300 calorie meal and give you controlled carbs and give you higher protein also, right? So whatever your requirement was in terms of health, whether you wanted to control your carbs, whether you wanted to have higher protein, whether you wanted to have lesser calories, all of these, we have different menus to cater to the consumer's needs, right? And this is again 2015 when cloud kitchen as a concept itself was very, very new, right? E-commerce was new, and then within e-commerce, cloud kitchen is a further niche concept, right? And that too in a city like Chandigarh. So at that time in Chandigarh, we did not have Swiggy, we did not have Zomato. So what we did was we established our own 360 degree model where we had our own kitchen to prepare the food. We had our own delivery feed to deliver the orders. We had our own website. We had our own order taking team to take orders and then give it to the chef for preparation, and then that get delivered to the consumer, right? So in addition to this 60 minute food delivery, the second new concept that we introduced at that time was subscription model, right? So if you are a gym goer, or if you have gone to a dietitian, so we tied up with the dietitians in gyms, right? And we had subscriptions that you can avail. It can be a week-long subscription, it can be a 15-day-long subscription, basis upon your goal, right? So if your goal is high protein, again, as I said, right? So if your goal is high protein, then we will create a customized meal plan for you, and we will deliver it at your specified time, right? So now subscriptions are very common, cloud kitchens are very common, right? So this is, again, 8 years ago, the whole concept itself was niche, and we were doing it in a city like Chandigarh. I think that's both the reasons put together. I think one of the reasons was we could not scale up because the target addressable market in a city like Chandigarh was limited, right? And because of this reason and multiple other reasons, I had to wind up the business in 2017. And then post 2017, I moved to Bombay for the first 6 months. So once wo bolte na ki aapko ek bar startup ka keeda kaat gaya, to aap corporate culture mein join kar hi nahi sakte. Okay, so kuch aisa hi tha. So for the first 6 months, I was working part-time with my husband. So my husband also has a startup. He's the CEO of a fintech startup right now. So I worked briefly with him, and I was also meeting founders of other early stage startups, right, within the food space. I was very clear that if I want to continue, I will continue within the food space. So through my meetings, I ended up meeting Mavericks Platforms, which was backed by Axel Partners, right? And it was founded by very senior people from the industry. Generally, you will see startups found by very young professionals, 20, 22 years old, right? Now, the three co-founders put together, cumulatively, they had 60 years of industry experience, right? So there was one person who graduated from IIM Bangalore in 1983. There was another who graduated in 1999. So I would say I was extremely lucky, and it was an amazing, amazing learning experience to be working with such experienced people and to be a part of a core team with them, right? So it was, as I said, it was an honor to be working. And when you are in a startup, right, you join for a certain role, but you end up doing 10 other things. And by the time you exit, you are working on something else, right? So something like that also happened with me. I joined them as a brand manager for a brand called Fingerlicks, which was into ready to cook, ready to eat, available primarily in modern trade stores. And by the time I exited, I was overlooking their entire cloud kitchen business. So they moved from being a ready to eat, ready to cook FMCG brand to being a cloud kitchen brand, and competing with your likes of, say, Rebel Foods, right? So, I don't know if you're familiar with the Rebel Foods or not. So, Rebel Foods has multiple brands catering to different cuisines, right? So, you will have Lunchbox, you have Fasos, you have Bear Rose Biryani, you have Mandaringo, you have Oven Story. So, similar to that concept, they pivoted into being a cloud kitchen brand, having multiple brands under their company, and then focusing on selling them via Swiggy. Now, via Swiggy again, because it was backed by Axel Partners, and so there was synergy between the investors. So this brand completely transitioned into becoming FMCG brand to a cloud kitchen brand, selling in partnership with Swiggy, right? And this was honestly, if I tell you, this was my second stint with selling online. My first stint, obviously, is my own e-commerce business, my own website, bringing traffic to my e-commerce, you know, bringing word of mouth, using WhatsApp, using social media, all of that, right? But this was again my second stint with selling online, is because you are selling on Swiggy. On Swiggy, there are hundreds of restaurants. How do you ensure that you are discoverable to the consumer who is browsing through Swiggy, who wants immediate results in front of them, right? Somebody who goes to Swiggy will not browse for minutes. They will make a decision in the next 2 or 3 minutes, right, when they go on Swiggy. So that was my second stint, and I think good for them. Last year, actually, Cure Foods, which is a startup which started by Ankit Nigori from Myntra, right? So Cure Foods acquired Mavericks, and today, as of now, Mavericks market presence is, they have 125 kitchens and they're available across 12 cities, and they have 10 different brands existing as of now, right? So they've made a very good, healthy exit. So that was my second stint in e-commerce, and my last in food, right? So I started with food in Pepsi, then I moved to my own startup, then I moved to another startup. And there was a point in my time I realized that I need to take a break from food. I need to move to second thing that I love the most, which was beauty, right? So I made that shift in 2019. I moved from food to beauty, and I joined Coty to lead their e-commerce charter for professional salon brands, right? So they had brands like Bella Professional, OPI, Sebastian Professional, right? So at that time, in fact, I had interviewed for a brand manager's role, and I ended up joining them for a completely different profile. And I would thank my hiring manager, because it was my first stint working with Amazon, working with an Nykaa, Myntra, Flipkart, and I feel very fortunate to have gotten this opportunity to learn and build my expertise in this space just before COVID hit, right? So during COVID, there were very, less number of professionals who were familiar with how e-commerce works, right? So I got this opportunity in 2019, right in time to be able to learn, to be able to test, learn and grow, right? So I think I'm very, very fortunate in that manner. And the brands that I was working on were primarily salon forward brands, right? So if you go to a salon, only then you will be able to make a purchase. They had no B2C presence. So it was again a 0-1 game for me. When I joined them, the e-commerce business was very, very small. And whatever it was coming from distributor managing a business on e-commerce, right? And it was only available on Nykaa. So from there, I worked with them for close to 2 years, and within those 2 years, the business grew by more than 100%, and they later also expanded and added more people to the team because they saw potential in e-commerce as a channel, right? So that is my third stint with Coty. After Coty, for a very brief time though, I joined L'Oreal Professional. Again, 0-1, I would say, because at that time, in 2021, they did not have e-commerce business, right? They did not have any presence on e-commerce. They were only selling again via salons, right? So I joined them to build their business for beauty platforms. There was another person in the team who had joined to look after the marketplaces, right? Now, because of COVID and changing consumer behavior, they had in fact set up the entire team to build this channel. So from before 2021, they had literally no presence on e-commerce. So there also I got an opportunity to work on e-commerce and build the processes and build the business from zero to the level that I left when I quit, right? So I stayed there for close to a year, and then Bajaj Consumer happened, right? So I've been in Bajaj Consumer Care for over 1.5 years now. And that's basically, I would say, my journey spread across my own venture, spread across food and personal care as a category. And more or less, I would say that all the stints that I have been part of have been in one way or the other, specific to digital or the e-commerce space, right? And the second part being that they've also given me the opportunity to make an impact, right? To do something from scratch or to be able to build something for the organization and drive the larger organization. So that would be, my journey. I'm sure I've overshoot some time, but yeah.
Great. Also wanted to understand what has been your experience as far as, you know, changing consumer needs are concerned, especially okay. in e-commerce. Can you throw some light on that?
So Bengal, as I've already mentioned, right, through my journey of the last 10 years across food and personal care categories, I've seen consumer needs have evolved rapidly, mostly driven by your technological advancements, changing lifestyle of the consumers, and not to forget the impact of events like COVID, right? But what I believe is that all of these needs, there are a lot of needs, right? But all of these needs that exist today can easily be clubbed into one big bucket, which is convenience, right? Everything that the platforms, everything that's happening today is only and only to drive convenience, right? Now, thanks to Jio, India now accounts to 12% of your world's population. I was reading this very interesting data. I thought I'll quote it today. India now accounts for 12% of the world's population active on the internet, right? And we are the third largest online customer base shopping after China and US, right? So this has happened only because of the, you know, penetration of smartphones, penetration of internet, and it has all happened because of Jio, right? Now, say 15 years ago, I would say, like, when I was a teenager or when I was young, right, Indians took comfort in stepping out and shopping at physical stores, right? A concept that, now an impatient new generation, which has been brought up on internet, which has been brought up on mobile apps, we'll find extremely inconvenient, right? So sensory experience was very, very important to the consumers 10 years ago, right? What has happened now is that e-commerce platforms over the last few years, over the last 5 or 6 years, they have evolved so much to provide convenience to the consumers while following your latest technological advancements, right? 15 years ago, 10 years ago, Flipkart was the first one to introduce the concept of cash on delivery, right? I think this was 2010 when they had introduced cash on delivery. And at that time, only 0.5% of the Indian population had credit cards. So now imagine, right? Now imagine, Mehul, you and I are in a time where there are variety of payment options, right? Including your digital wallets, including UPI, buy now, pay later, easy EMI options. You have even cryptocurrencies, right? So 13 years ago, there was only cash on delivery. 90% of the business was happening COD. Very few were happening on credit cards and debit cards. And now the entire landscape has changed, right? So this has all happened because consumers seek convenience, right? Then consumers are seeking your no questions asked return policy. They want easy exchange. They want same day refund, right? So if this is the need that the consumers have, the platforms will also have to evolve in a manner to fulfill that need, right? I would like to mention specifically a platform here, since I'm a very regular shopper on that platform. So Myntra has launched an amazing feature recently where you order one style. So suppose, Mehul, you are a consumer, you go to Myntra, you buy for a pant, you buy jeans, okay? But you don't like the jeans and your size is not available. If you want to exchange it, your sizes, you can exchange it for a shirt, which was not possible earlier, right? So you buy one style and you can exchange it for a completely different style, right? So that is, again, something which is giving you convenience. In the same price that you had bought the shirt, the jeans, maybe you are getting another product. And it also helps Myntra build the lifetime value for the consumer, right? So it goes hand in hand for the consumer and the platform. What, again, another thing that justifies the need, which is convenience, is earlier consumers were okay to wait for 1 week for their orders, right? 1 week reduced to 4 days. Now people want same day delivery. People want next day delivery, right? Anything beyond next day is like, okay, fine. If Amazon cannot give me next day delivery, let me go to Flipkart and see if the same product is available and I can get it faster. If Flipkart cannot give you, then maybe you can go to Quick Commerce and you'll see, okay, fine, let me open Blinkit and see if I can get a product faster than even Amazon and Flipkart, right? So this is also showing that a lot of solutions that exist today is because a consumer is looking for convenience and the platforms, the entire landscape has evolved to fulfill that need. So at the end of the day, Mehul, I personally believe everything boils down to convenience. It is convenience that the consumer is seeking.
That's very interesting. I mean, you built on that one point so beautifully, you know, justifying through, you know, anecdotal as well as, you know, statistical evidence. So that really helps. That's very good insights, Ashima. Thanks for that.
Thank you.
Yeah. So coming to the next question, you know, I wanted to get your views on advertising. So how has advertising changed in the digital age, and what are the benefits and pitfalls of these changes?
I think I briefly touched upon this in my first question when I was explaining about our journey in Bajaj Consumer Care, right? And the battle between traditional and digital. So marketing cannot be unidimensional anymore, right? It has already, I think, in many forums, in millions of forums, it has been called out that technology has completely revolutionized advertising in digital age, right? The rise of your internet, your smartphones, your social media, your AI, you have artificial intelligence, you have AR, you have VR. It has all redefined the way businesses communicate with their target audiences, right? It has helped the brands unlock newer opportunities for growth, right? So this is basically a summary of how advertising has changed, right? Now, if I was to, think about the benefits or discuss about the benefits with you, I think they are multifold, okay? The first one that comes to my mind is now, I mean, since we are also doing it day in and day out, right? The first one, which has been possible because of digital marketing today, is your capability to run laser targeted campaigns, right? You can target your audience based upon your demographics. You can target them based upon your interests, based upon behaviors, based upon region, right? At the same, you can also deliver personalized content. One is you are targeting your audience, and basis the audience interests, their lifestyle, you can also create personalized content and target that content to the individual that will resonate with that individual, right? So that is something which has also been enabled by digital. And because it is targeted, because it is personalized, how it helps the business is it helps you give a better CTR. A better CTR will give you better conversions eventually, right? So this is the first big benefit, I think, of digital marketing. So the second big benefit, Mehul, would be that if you are a consumer who's sitting in, say, Mumbai, and I operate out of Chandigarh, if I want to reach out to you, if I want to reach out to Mumbai, Delhi, any geography, I can reach out at the comfort of my home, right? It's not just India, but if I want to reach out to my consumer in London or any other part of the world, I can comfortably reach out sitting in India today, right? So there is unprecedented global reach that digital advertising has brought about today. So that's the second one. So Mehul, the third one is the capability to measure data, right? And to be able to take data-driven decisions. The fourth one, I think, which is very, very important for every marketeer, is the cost of running these campaigns. All these benefits that I talked about, they come at a lower cost compared to if you were to advertise your brand using traditional mediums. So digital overall is a very cost-effective medium also, right? Now, quoting some numbers again, considering these benefits that I talked about, right, a lot of your established traditional companies like, say, your HUL, ITC, P&G, all of them have upped their spends in digital and e-commerce advertising. I was reading one of these reports by Madison, which said that digital had the highest ever share of total spends in 2022, which was 41%, right? Followed by 32%, which is television, and followed by 20%, which went to print, right? So for the first time in the last 3 or 4 years since digital started to evolve, right? The industry itself saw highest ever spends on digital. Right. And we also, looking at the trends that are there in the industry, we, as I mentioned before as well, that we also at Bajaj Consumer Care are spending close to 40-43% of our total ad spends on digital. And it used to be like, say, single digits 3 or 4 years ago. Right. So these are the benefits, as I said, but for every benefit or every evolving technology will have some challenges, right? Will have definitely have some pitfalls. What I would say is that every marketer today needs to be cognizant of the challenges that it poses. one of the biggest challenges that I personally believe is the privacy concerns, right? And there are a lot of mandates that exist today around collection and use of personal data. So a marketer should be cognizant of these mandates and should incorporate these in their marketing strategy, right? The second one is competition. Because of digital advertising's reach and cost effectiveness, a lot of brands have forayed into digital advertising, which has intensified the competition, right? So that's the second biggest challenge. I would not say it's a pitfall, it's a challenge as of now. Then the third one, I feel personally, because I've been at the receiving end, is that any negative feedback or criticism that your brand gets, right, is visible to the audience through social media and through review sites, which if you do not attend to properly, it can damage your brand reputation, right? Because everybody is online, right? So any negative comment can go in any direction. So a brand needs to be cognizant of that and needs to take corrective action to protect their reputation. And the last, I somehow feel, is that there's just too much information, right? Digital marketing can overwhelm you with a lot of information. It becomes difficult for consumers to retain information. Like today, you might be seeing a lot of ads of different brands. You will remember the product. You might remember the product, but it's very difficult for you to remember the brand all the time, right? So it's just too much information. It's becoming a little cluttered as well. So we need to find strategies, or we need to make our plan in a way that we are able to declutter our brand and stand it out.
Super. So coming to our next question, I just wanted to understand, since you have experience in e-commerce, you know, marketing has changed a lot over the past few years. So how do you build a e-commerce brand? You know, because some of the brands are digital first and some of the brands are purely digital. So what has been your experience? And, you know, it will help if you can share some insights.
Okay. Mehul, I would say that when you are working on an e-commerce brand, that is digital first, one should be very, very clear about the product proposition, one. The second is the pricing, right? Now, if you look at the D2C brands that have established themselves in the last 4 or 5 years, the likes of Mamaearth, Sugar, Cosmetics, Plum, McCafeen, none of these D2C companies have launched mass market products on e-commerce, right? Why? Because your mass market products command lower margins. Their product proposition is also very, very unique, right? So Mamaearth started as a baby care label. Then they later expanded into personal care products. When they launched their products, they had natural toxin-free ingredients, which was a new concept 6 years ago, right? So to summarize, I think your products should have high or average gross margins compared to the category. That's one. And you should have differentiated product proposition to make you stand out. Also, your product mix and your assortment mix should be such that the consumer can buy multiple products in one basket, because then only your D2C, you'll be able to justify your D2C logistics cost, right? So that's the first very important part for any e-commerce brand. The second is that once you have found the right product, once you have found the right pricing for your product, then the brand should move to finding the best medium to reach their consumer, right? Now, as I've already mentioned, right, the opportunities that are available in digital marketing today are endless. So a brand needs to determine their target consumer. They need to know where that consumer is hanging out and how can they best reach out to that consumer, right? There's no point being on a platform just because everyone else is. If your consumer is less than 25 years old, he might be on an Instagram or a Snapchat, right? There's no point of having Facebook as a part of your marketing strategy. Now, even within Instagram, the brand should try to understand what your target consumer is doing, what type of content they are consuming, whom are they following, right? And once you've understood your target consumer, once you've understood the channel that you want to target the consumer, you need to create content which will resonate with your audience, right? You need to create content with your audience in mind and then share it with them on the right platform and at the right time, right? So after you have figured out the right product, after you figured out the right pricing, after you figured out the right digital advertising model, the right platform where you would reach out to your consumer, the last but the most important part is your distribution platform, right? Now, Mehul, there have been many debates. In fact, I was part of this debate, right, which you had organized in one of the D2C summits, right? There are a lot of debates that are happening on choosing your own D2C platform or launching first on marketplaces, right? Now, what I believe is that starting one's own D2C platform can get very, very overwhelming, right? And it is also expensive. I can quote this from my own experience. 8 years ago, there was no Zomato. There was no Swiggy to help me with orders, to help me with the deliveries, right? So we were completely dependent on our website, on our own delivery fleet, right? And this limited our reach. Today, I'm like 200% sure that if there was Swiggy, there was Zomato, there was these marketplaces available at that time to help me reach out to the consumer, reach out to the relevant consumer, I might not have shut down, right? So I would say my suggestion for all the upcoming brands would be that jointly work with marketplaces. Do not discount the fact that these marketplaces exist. Work with them. What you can also do is that you can choose the marketplace, right? So lately you will see a lot of brands that have launched exclusively on Nykaa. So you don't have to be available on all marketplaces. If you think Nykaa is the right kind of consumers for your brand, you choose Nykaa. If you think Myntra has the right kind of consumers, I mean, if you are a fashion brand, if you think Myntra has the right kind of consumer, you choose Myntra, right? But always work with these marketplaces in parallel, right? And then also start working on building your strong tech and operational capabilities, because in D2C, a successful D2C brand today requires a robust system to fulfill orders, to deliver them on time to the consumer, and to also manage returns, right? So while you're working on building your business on marketplaces, also work on building a strong tech system, building a strong back-end logistics system to be able to cater to your growing demand. So,
yeah. Amazing. Very well put, Ashima. Thanks so much for that. It gives us a perspective, you know, not just from the consumer side, but also from somebody who has actually been there and done that. So. Yeah. Thanks and hats off to you to, you know, have the courage to pull that off at a time when, you know, you didn't have the Swiggies and the Zomatos of the world, you know, especially in the area where you were present.
So, Mehul, actually, I think I didn't mention this. We were breaking even every month. We were not profitable, but wow. Whatever our expenses were, operational expenses, we were able to manage them with our revenue. So, at least we were making enough money to fulfill, you know, the salaries and all the rents and all the other.
Amazing. Amazing. That's very interesting. So what do you think about influencers, you know, in marketing of a brand, you know, how important they are and what are your views about them?
So a little trivia, Mehul. So I also time and again feel that I should become an influencer. I've tried it on and off, but trust me, it is a very, very tedious task. It requires a lot of time. It requires a lot of planning, a lot of brainstorming. It's not just about, you know, creating content, posting content blindly. Today, people like to follow influencers who are experts in their fields, right? So the growth, now what has driven this, right? So the growth in consumption of content on social media has increased the significance of influencer marketing. Brands of all sizes today need a strong social presence, and that is only possible with the help of influencers. And influencer marketing now is not just about roping in an influencer or a celebrity which has high number of followers. You'll see more and more brands, I'm sure you're already aware, and you'll continue to see more and more brands who are working with the micro influencers or working with nano influencers, and they're prioritizing engagement over reach, right? You want the right kind of influencer to be promoting your product in their subscriber or follower base, right? And consumers today are also valuing content which is authentic, which resonates with them. So it's a very, very integral part, I feel. Influencers, they help build brand awareness. They help the brand reach out to the right target audience. They help you tailor your messaging depending upon your objective. It helps you increase engagement and eventually revenue, right? So there are a lot of benefits. The only thing that I would say has changed is the kind of influencers that exist and the kind of content that these influencers are posting right now. Influencers were important 5 years ago, are important and will continue to be important, but the content strategy is going to significantly change, right? So Mayul, I'll just quote a couple of examples here of some of the D2C brands that have grown using influencer marketing as their key marketing strategy, right? So I'm sure everybody is aware about Mamaearth. Mamaearth entered this space and became a unicorn within just 6 years of their existence, right? And how did it, this was that they ditched the conventional marketing style and they used social media extensively. They targeted very niche, very, very specific influencers for their campaigns. And not just influencers in terms of their channel presence also, right? So from YouTube to Instagram to Facebook communities, Mamaearth had integrated content across all possible social media platforms, right? On the other hand, I'll also like to take an example of a brand like Boat, right? Which is the second biggest brand in a very different category, but it's also a unicorn now. Boat collaborated with celebrities such as Ranbir Kapoor, Kartik Aaryan, even mega influencers like Prajakta Koli to spread the word about their fashionable audio products, right? And the one thing other than just, you know, tying up with influencer that sticks to my mind is that they've also created a digital community of people who share the same passion for music industry and audio products. Right, so I remember very, very clearly that my cousin brother, who is into Marvel, right, so Boat had come up with their Marvel collection, and it was a special collection of earbuds and headphones and speakers, right, which was designed specifically for Marvel fans. Now, this strategy and this exclusive launch of Marvel products promoted on digital, in digital communities, helped them build, you know, a very widespread brand visibility and an aura of exclusivity, which got created around both products, right? So I think that's the second example that I would like to quote.
Great. So coming to the next question, obviously you spoke a lot about e-commerce and, you know, the challenges, and also about how they are dependent on marketplaces. Having said that, of course, you know, e-commerce as a business sometimes becomes fragile because of their over dependency, if I may say so, on marketplaces as well as paid marketing channels. So in this situation, do you think, you know, it is important for a brand to improve their organic search through their own website through means like search engine optimization?
Yes, I think it's extremely important, Mehul. Again, quoting some data here. So more than half of the people today who are browsing the internet place more trust in a brand that ranks higher in organic search results, right, than the one that is appearing as a sponsored ad or a sponsored or a paid endorsement, right? So your users will tend to trust and click on an organic search results way more than a paid ad, right? So that's the trend right now. So appearing at top of the search results for relevant keywords will definitely increase visibility for the brand, will help increase credibility and awareness of the brand, right? So Mehul, the brands need to remember today that organic search or SEO that we call it, right, is a long-term strategy, right? Over time, as you create quality content, as you build backlinks, your brand's authority, your brand's visibility is going to increase, right? And the growth that we will see from investing time, from investing resources in building SEO is going to be sustainable, because your paid media budget can get cut anytime, right? But your SEO is not subject to budget limitations, right? Or ad campaign durations. So this is going to be sustainable. It is only going to take some time, and the brands need to be cognizant of that and continue to work in that direction, right? Your follow-up question can be that what can brands do, right? If they have to work on their organic search, where do they start, right? How do they start building their organic search? Now, I'm going to just link it to e-commerce brands only, right? So for e-commerce brand, keyword research is your first pillar of building a successful SEO strategy. In today's time, you have Amazon, you have Flipkart, you have keyword tools also to understand the right keywords, which will then help you, you know, differentiate between your relevant traffic to your website and irrelevant traffic to your website, right? Also, at the same time, what we should know and what should what the brands can do is that they can also browse the competitor's website for identifying long tail keywords that cater to specific niche audiences, right? So you need to start on finding the right keywords for your brands. Once you have identified the keywords, once you have identified the long tail keywords, once you've identified the language or the phrases that are being used by your potential consumers, then you need to use these keywords and optimize these keywords across the various elements on your product page, right? So say your URL, you can integrate this in, you can integrate this in your title tag, you can integrate in your product title description. There are multiple avenues available for you to integrate these keywords and optimize your content, right? And all these will then eventually help build authority of your product page, will build relevancy of your website. So I think the brand should immediately look at working on building the right keyword strategy and integrating those keywords in their content at as many places as possible.
Super. Thanks. As usual, very nicely put along with examples. Thank you so much for that, Ashima. My next question is about artificial intelligence, and I would like to know your views on artificial intelligence in marketing.
So, as I talked about AI, AR, VR earlier also in one of my answers, right? Artificial intelligence today has become an integral part of every marketer's life. And I would say not just marketing level, right? It has proved its effectiveness across multiple other functions, be it supply chain, be it finance, be it HR, right? A lot of the organization's goals are being driven by AI today, right? But because your question is about marketing, so I restrict my answer to marketing. AI has brought about personalization in marketing. Again, I'll quote some examples, right? So Netflix is using AI for content recommendation. I am able to discover new shows and movies based upon my interest, right? And which has been possible because of AI. Then Amazon also recently in one of our JPP discussion was showing us data where they said that around 35% of the sales that are happening on Amazon are coming from these AI-driven product recommendations. So when you type a keyword or when you go to Amazon, there are a lot of recommendations that come basis your previous browsing history or the kind of products that you have purchased, right? So Amazon's 35% of sales is coming from this AI-driven tool, right? Then you have your Spotify, which is also using AI algorithms to analyzing your listening habits and then curate a playlist which will have your recommended songs, right? Now, the examples that I quote, whether it's Netflix or Amazon or Spotify, these are examples from your tech companies, and you expect tech companies to follow AI, right? But cut to your FMCG companies, a lot of your traditional companies are also using AI more and more in their marketing. So I still very vividly remember the campaign that Cadbury did with Shah Rukh Khan in 2021 around Diwali, which allowed anyone to create an ad for their local store and use the face of Shah Rukh Khan, right? And how were they able to do it? With the help of AI, with the help of machine learning, they were able to recreate Shah Rukh Khan's face and Shah Rukh Khan's voice in a way that it sounded like that the actor was saying the local store or the brand's name, right? So that was the first time I think I saw any FMCG company using AI in a large scale campaign. And the list of use cases is just endless, right? Today, FMCG companies are using AI for better content creation. AI tools are helping them in generating impactful product descriptions, impactful digital banners, which can get them better CTR and which can eventually get them better conversion. They're also using it to analyze the social media trends. They're also using it for social listening, using it to understand the consumer behavior, then again optimizing content, optimizing the right posting time, etc. Right? So there are a lot of things which have been made possible because of AI. A lot of time is being saved, a lot of optimization is possible, and that's leading to cost saving for the company. Right? So I think AI is here to stay.
Do you use AI in any of your marketing activities, and if so, can you share some examples there?
Yes. So we very much do, Mehul. Thank you for asking this question. So around 6 months ago, we tied up with a Dubai-based agency who is helping us optimize our Amazon search campaign. So basically our AMS campaigns, they are helping us optimize these campaigns 24/7 using real-time market intelligence and shopper behavior data, right? So what they do is that they have a tool which will look at various data points, including how was the performance of your previous ads, how is the category performing, what are the kind of keywords that are generating leads or sales for the category, what is the traffic on certain keywords, what is your shopper behavior, as well as also look at seasonality data, right? Now, this tool will consider all of these data points and will optimize your campaigns in real time and adjust the bids in upward or downward manner appropriately as per the campaign goal, right? So, say 6 months ago when we were working with another agency, a person had to manually go to AMS, open the dashboard and open each and every campaign and optimize the bids, right? But now, because of this AI tool, we are able to do thousands of optimizations a day for thousands of campaigns that we have, right? So there's no limit to what we can achieve with the help of AI. And it has also helped us, this is all the input, right? We also want an output also to justify the spends that we are doing, right? So this tool has helped us get better ROI for much lesser spends, right? So we are able to spend lesser and convert more and drive more ROI for our brand. So it's working in that way as well. The second that we are doing is that we've recently partnered with Shebang, where we are using Gen AI, which is your generative AI, to create stunning creatives that highlight the product's ease, feature and convenience, right? So that is the second place where we've started. Very recently, we've started using AI. And the third, not from Bajaj Consumer Care, but I think it's very notable to mention, is that when I was in L'Oreal, okay, so there was a campaign that the L'Oreal Professionals brand team had executed. And I was very, very fascinated by what they had done at that time, right? So they had partnered with Google and they used a combination of Google Studio, Google Web Designer and DV360, which is your display and video 360. Using that, the brand was quickly able to create and serve dynamic ads, right? With tailored messages. Now I'll explain it a bit, okay? So say if you are a consumer who has browsed for solutions for frizzy hair. So you have frizzy hair, you have in your past browsed for products that control frizziness, right? And there is also monsoon coming up in your area. Monsoon is already there in your region, which is adding to the frizziness. So the messaging of the creative and the creative itself will tailor basis your requirement, right? So if you have a frizziness concern, you will see a different creative. Somebody who's sitting in, say, south, it's very hot and they have oily hair, they will see a completely different messaging. So this was possible because of AI.
Thanks for the inputs on AI, Ashima. Now coming to the next question, you know, we talked about marketplaces like Amazon and Flipkart of the world, and they play a big role as far as e-commerce is concerned today. So what are your takes as far as the importance and challenges of these marketplaces are concerned?
Okay. I mentioned this earlier also, it's very, very important for any e-commerce brand, or in fact a digital first brand also, to partner with marketplaces. There are multiple benefits of listing your products and selling your products on these marketplaces. I'll just quote some of the top benefits that we see while working with these marketplaces. The first and the foremost, Mehul, I believe, is that there is a minimized headache of logistics. And when I say headache, it is actually a headache. So, because of marketplaces, you have minimized headache of logistics and last mile delivery, right? They will manage shipping, they will manage delivery, they will manage returns, and they will manage exchange for you, right? The brand can, because everything is taken care of, the brand can actually focus on scaling up their business without worrying about the logistics part, right? Now, consumers, as I mentioned, that convenience is a very, very big need that exists today. Consumers want same-day delivery, consumers want easy returns, they want doorstep refund. These options, marketplaces can offer seamlessly, right? And because these marketplaces are offering these options, attract more customers, which will then result in more trials for your products on these marketplaces, right? So first I said is that your logistics is taken care of. The second is that these marketplaces over a period of time, right, they have built a large consumer base. Today your Amazon, today your Flipkart, they have millions of active consumers. They have a lot of consumers browsing their app day in and day out, right? So you can reach out to this large consumer base who is sitting in different parts of the countries. You automatically get access to a vast and diverse audience, right? And more number of consumers are able to see your brand, and you can also create, like, I mean, we've mentioned digital before also, you can then target these consumers who you believe will be able to resonate with your product, but you've already got that consumer base, right? So that's the second one. The third one, I feel, is when it comes to e-commerce, right? I think trust and reliability is very, very important. If I'm a consumer, I will choose to buy from an Amazon or a Flipkart or even a Myntra versus a D2C brand, right? Because I don't know the brand, I don't trust the brand, right? So these platforms, over a period of time, have built that trust, they've built that reliability among the consumers. Now, if you are part of these established online marketplaces, that level of trust already builds between you and the consumer, right? Because you're listed on that marketplace. Now, this is when we were also evaluating, we were going through some data. If you are a new D2C brand, right, who has very minimal presence on marketplaces, and you launch your own D2C website, we saw that 70% of the orders that the consumer will place would be COD orders, right? And COD orders are very expensive orders, and they add a lot to your overall logistics cost, right? So if you were to do your own D2C and not be on Amazon platform, there's a lot of cost that will get added to your overall operations, right? But if you work with Amazon, if you work with Flipkart, if you work with Nykaa, right? Consumers have, because of the trust and credibility that these platforms have built, the consumers have shifted to prepaid orders. And even if that order is going to be COD, that headache, again, I would say that headache is not yours to maintain, to manage the returns and COD orders, right? These platforms will, as part of the commission that they charge, will manage everything for you, right? So that's the third point, that there's trust, reliability. The fourth, I would say, is, see, today, what's happening is that if I'm also a consumer, I will research about a product on multiple channels before I make a purchase, right? So today, 71% of the consumers are researching online before making any purchase. And this research is happening on Amazon primarily and on Google, right? So before a consumer makes a purchase, they like to read about the reviews. They like to read about what other users or consumers have to say about that product, right? And they will go to an Amazon or a Flipkart. So not being available and not having those reviews on the platform and a consumer searching for a certain product will eliminate your chances of that, of building that awareness or being in that mindset of the consumer, right? So being available on these platforms can boost your visibility, it can boost your credibility, which will eventually lead to increased sales across different channels, right? So if somebody is researching on Amazon, they might not buy on Amazon, they might come and buy on your D2C platform or even a retail store that you have, right? But the first research of any product that today is happening, 71% of it is happening online. So it's very, very important for the brands to be available on these top trusted marketplaces, because it gives the consumers the confidence to buy your product, right? Then I think these are the top four benefits that I could think of. Disadvantages, right? So there are different disadvantages that a traditional company would face versus a D2C, right? But the common one, I would still believe, is high commission. So it depends upon the category, it depends upon the product that you have, it depends upon the ASP of your product. But selling on marketplaces, you have to pay a certain commission fee. It can vary from 20% to 40%, right? That's an average that a brand will have to shell out when they plan to decide on marketplaces. The second channel, the challenge I feel for marketplaces is that there's just too much competition, right? And again, I said, jo dikhta hai, wo bikta hai. So you have to be discoverable on these marketplaces, and to become discoverable, you have to spend a lot of money on media, right? There are hundreds of brands selling similar products. If you have a shampoo, there will be another brand selling a shampoo. Same concern, same ingredients, right? And the focus of the customer today is shifting from the brand more to the product. They're more interested in knowing the product than the brand, right? So it becomes very difficult to build brand equity on these marketplaces. Third, which we face, honestly, any e-commerce person from FMCG will tell you, is the price wars that happen, right? So there are price wars that happen between Amazon and Flipkart, right? So if you are working with the alpha sellers of Amazon and Flipkart, so for Amazon, say for personal care category, this is RK, and for Flipkart, for again personal care category, it is Supercomnet. So if you're working with these alpha sellers, there are chances of them breaching the prices, right? So if you've given them a certain discount, but the final discount that is visible to the consumer is going to be significantly higher, so your control on the price minimizes because you're working with these marketplaces, right? And then you will have to devise strategies that you have exclusive products or products that minimize the conflict with your general trade, right? So that's the third pitfall slash disadvantage. The fourth being is that if you are on only marketplace, then you get very limited data, right? You don't have any 1P data. You get data which can help you understand customer behavior, but it will not help you understand the full funnel, right? From who's the consumer who looked at your product page, why did they bounce off, did they add the product to the cart, after adding to the cart, did they make a checkout or not, right? So the entire journey, it's very difficult to understand if you're only on marketplace. However, if you have your D2C site in parallel, you can understand a lot more about your consumer, a lot more about what is driving that purchase and what kind of products that they are So that would be the last.
Wonderful. Thanks a lot for sharing that, Ashima. Now we come to the last question. I would like to request you to share some takeaways for budding professionals before we sign off.
Okay. So Mehul, if you see my journey, right, the kind of roles that I have done and the organization that I've worked with, I've always been involved in building something from zero. Whether it is my own startup or joining another food startup in a very early stage, or joining Koti and building their e-commerce business, or doing a similar role in L'Oreal, or doing or building the e-commerce business of Bajaj Consumer Care, right? So I've always been a part of the zero to one game, right? And personally, that is what keeps me going. This is what keeps me motivated. This is what keeps me happy, keeps me energized, right? So to all the budding professionals, to all the young professionals, I would say, I would have just two key takeaways for all the budding young professionals here. The first one, which may sound very, very cliche, is that pursue a job that you enjoy. And I have personally stood by it, and I'm giving this, takeaway from my own personal experience, that finding a job that is good, that is a good fit for you, is very, very important, and it will take time. It took time for me also. For some people, it might happen in one attempt. For others, it may take two or three attempts, right? But always be on the move till you find something that aligns with your interests, till you find something where you are able to contribute to the larger organization goal, till you find something that, you know, keeps you happy and gives you joy, right? If you look at my career graph, I haven't been in any organization for more than 2 years, right? I have even shifted in just over a year, right? So just forget about the duration that you are spending in a company, right? It's not the 1990s, it's not the 2000s anymore, where people would work at the same organization for years, right? Life is short, okay? So look for roles. Look for profiles that give you joy, where you're able to contribute something to the larger, organization. I know it, again, I would say it is cliche. You might have heard it from multiple other, career coaches, a lot of leadership conferences. But try to follow it, and I think your career will see a completely different trend if you follow this. The second is venture out of your comfort zone, right? So today, Mehul, I believe, and again, I go by it, right? Today is not the time to be master of one, right? Organizations prefer people who are jack of all trades. Why? Because if you are jack of all trades, it shows your aptitude, it shows your capability to learn new things, right? It is the digital age where every day there is some or the other technology which is making way into your life, right? So upskilling is very important, reskilling is very important, trying things that make you feel uncomfortable initially are very important, right? Unless you try, you will never know what you actually enjoy doing, right? So just venture out of your comfort zone, try things, and keep on growing in terms of skills, and keep on finding new things that you end up enjoying, right? So like, for example, I was initially very, very uncomfortable when I got to know that I had been invited to this podcast, but I took it as a challenge. I spent some time on preparing it. I went through the questions, I prepared my answers, etc. And I don't know, maybe I've done a good job or not, but I think I gave it my 100% to overcome my nervousness. So I would not call it fear, but it's the fear of unknown, right? If you've not done it, you don't know whether you can do it or not. So that's the second takeaway from my side.
No, you have done a great job, Ashima, by providing insights as well as a lot of examples, through your research. So this would probably be one of the most enriching podcasts for our viewers as well. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Mehul. Thank you. It's really great to hear. Very kind of you.
So here we are at the end of yet another episode of The Growth Genius. It was truly inspiring and very knowledgeable, with a lot of anecdotal as well as statistical facts that Ashima Agarwal shared with us. It makes me feel truly knowledgeable as far as the space of e-commerce is concerned, and I hope you like the insights as well. If you like our content, do like, share and subscribe to us across various social media platforms and also audio platforms. The links to all of these are given below in the descriptor. So till the next episode of The Growth Genius, keep learning and keep inspiring. Thank you.